Shashi Tharoor, Congress MP from Thiruvananthapuram in Kerala, senior Congress leader. And today, of course, we're talking about the big story, the continuing big story of Rahul Gandhi's disqualification from his membership in Parliament, from Wayanad, your state, Mr. Tharoor. But first of all, welcome to The Print.
Good to see you, Jyoti. Good to be back. Yes. Okay. My state, indeed.
Your state, Wayanad, evidently there was a protest there. You weren't there yourself, and not very many people interested at all in what's going on with Rahul Gandhi's disqualification.
No, that's not right. Actually, I was in Thiruvananthapuram where we had a satyagraha, and in every district headquarters in Kerala, there was a successful satyagraha. Thiruvananthapuram is also the state capital, so it was probably amongst the bigger ones. But there's a terrific turnout. What's interesting is not only that the Congress Party workers are up in arms. I mean, not arms. I should correct that, because we've just had a terrible attack by the police on unarmed demonstrators. So they're agitated, let's say. And at the same time, the opposition parties, by and large, have expressed solidarity. What's amazing is that even the communist government in Kerala has said that on this issue, they're with the Congress and Rahul Gandhi, not out of any liking for the Congress, but in order to defend democracy. Okay, and so I think that is absolutely the right thing.
So a couple of questions, Mr. Tharoor. First of all, the Indian Express reported that a lot of disinterest in Wayanad, although the protest was mounted there, like you said, by Congress Party workers, but very few workers showed up, very few people showed up. So, you know, sort of like a lackadaisical, so theek hai, ho jayega, let's see what happens to Rahul Gandhi, but chalta hai.
Well, look, I must say that that's not the impression I get. Now, obviously, people can have different perceptions, and I haven't been to Wayanad. There's no question.
Why haven't you been to Wayanad? You're a senior Congress leader from Kerala. You put your hat into the ring.
The party has asked me to do other things. I had to launch a satyagraha in Guruvayur yesterday, which was a step in the commemoration of the centenary of the Vaikyam satyagraha, which Mr. Kharge is coming down to address day after tomorrow. In fact, tomorrow now, the 30th. So it's a very packed week for me, and I'm running around all at the request of my party. So it's not that I'm, the party decides the priorities on these matters, and this is where I'm needed.
So Guruvayur more important than Wayanad?
Absolutely, because it's a huge event. The Guruvayur Satyagraha and the Vaikyam Satyagraha were opening salvos in the Congress Party's efforts in the 1920s and 30s to open up temples and roads around temples to people of all castes, which wasn't the case in Kerala at that time. So it's a huge agitation. And what's interesting is that the Communist Party, which didn't even exist at that time, is now seeking to appropriate those events and celebrate them. So I think the Congress Party is anxious to ensure that we have heavyweight celebrations ourselves so no one can ignore our history and our involvement.
So is Rahul Gandhi coming to the event, to the Satyagraha and Guruvayur and commemorating Vaikyam?
No, Guruvayur was yesterday, that I was the inaugurator, and tomorrow it's Mr. Kharge, who's the president of the party. Doesn't get higher than that.
So Rahul is not coming?
Not that I'm aware of.
So Rahul Gandhi, a former member of parliament from Kerala, is not coming to the big event commemorating the Vaikyam Satyagraha in Kerala. I mean, that's a bit odd, isn't it, Mr. Tharoor?
No, look, I don't know that he's not coming. All I know is that Mr. Kharge is the headline principal speaker. But as we all know, thanks to the government, Mr. Gandhi has a lot of other things on his hands right now, including, presumably consultations with our lawyers and the strategists on how to move forward on this extraordinary decision of the Surat court.
So that's my next question. It's been 5 days since the Surat magistrate disqualified Rahul Gandhi. But it seems he has given a press conference soon after, but nothing else. No talk, no communication, nothing from the Congress Party about what next steps. Are you going to challenge it in appeal in Gujarat, in Surat? Are you going to the Supreme Court? What are you guys planning to do?
Well, I think, frankly, that's why the lawyers come in. Because as far as I'm concerned, I'm not a lawyer and I'm not sitting in Delhi as part of the strategy team. So I'm hearing the news about the time that you folks hear it. But let me tell you that as far as I have a personal opinion on the matter, I do believe we should appeal at whatever the next appropriate level is. If we're allowed to go directly to the Supreme Court, maybe we should. Otherwise, we should go to the High Court. But a stay of conviction is indispensable to stop the whole sort of drama of, we've already seen the Lok Sabha Secretary within 24 hours of the judgment disqualifying Rahul Gandhi from Parliament. And then within just a weekend in between, you have the next working day, the Lok Sabha Secretariat Housing Committee decides to strip Rahul Gandhi of his house. all of this is extraordinary speed and efficiency we rarely see in our system. And I must say that I think in order to prevent the next stage, which is, of course, for a by-election to be called and so on, we should really get a stay of conviction very quickly so that we can take a deep breath and challenge this extraordinary conviction on merits. That's my personal view.
But that's the point, isn't it, Mr. Tharoor, that it's been 5 long days, or today is a 6th long day. I mean, you want to take a deep breath, but your deep breath is lasting 6 days. I mean, that's a lot of time to take a deep breath and not to sort of have any next steps and tell the country what you guys are up to.
Well, look, I'm the wrong person to ask. You'll have to ask one of our official spokesmen. They would know what's going on in Delhi. But let me tell you that the entire judgment was in Gujarati, every single page of it, and must have needed translation so we can get the exact details of what's
the translation from Gujarati into English or Hindi, or as the case may be.
As the case may be. Plus, I think, you know, it's such an important matter affecting a principal leader of our party that I think there would have to be some pretty intensive legal consultation to adopt a strategy and then to take the appropriate steps. So, you know, there are people tasked with this, and really, I'm not the right person to ask.
Okay, so now, meanwhile, Prime Minister Modi, speaking at the BJP headquarters about 24 hours or so ago, said, and he has come out, you know, guns blazing, where he has said that the opposition, he hasn't named anybody, but he clearly is referring to the disqualification of Rahul Gandhi, saying that there is deep corruption in the opposition, and if it were not running scared, they would accept what's happening to them, including the role of the investigative agencies like the Enforcement Directorate and the CBI. What's your comment?
Well, I think the opposition parties generally, not just the Congress, are absolutely certain that these institutions of our governmental system are being misused for political purposes by the government and the ruling party. Whether it comes to the ED, the CBI, the income tax officials, revenue intelligence, the economic offences wing, you name it, every one of them seems to be unleashed on opposition members, on those who support the opposition parties, even business people who give donations to the opposition. It's quite extraordinary. I think there was a statistic that came out last week that 95% of all corruption inquiries have been against opposition. It's as if, you know, you join the BJP and you're whitewashed immediately, whereas every single person...
Is that true? Is that true? You join the BJP and you're whitewashed immediately?
So it would seem. There are a number of cases. I myself tweeted a few weeks ago a list I received of a number of people who actually had active inquiries against them. And the day after they joined the BJP, those inquiries were stopped or withdrawn. This is the way in which our government wants to function. It's going to be very difficult for them to demand respect for these institutions if the institutions are treated.
Do you have a couple of examples of that, Mr. Tharoor?
I'll literally have to go and see. But while we're talking, I can come back to you. My concern is, you know, I don't want to point the finger at any individuals necessarily. I think it's the larger point. Can the government in turn turn around and give us names of people in the BJP or the ruling coalition who, while still in the BJP, are being tarnished? As I understand it, the only cases of people currently who have been inquired were people who either left the BJP or hadn't yet joined when the investigation or the proceedings started and had moved too far to be interrupted. That's really a bit dismaying, don't you think?
But Mr. Tharoor, the larger point really is that the opposition, even now, at a moment like this, when one of the Congress party's most powerful leader has been disqualified from the House, the opposition is still in disarray. You know, the Uddhav Thackeray Shiv Sena has told the Congress party very clearly, do not use the name or do not taint the name of Veer Savarkar. Already the opposition is falling apart on this point.
Hey, wait a minute. That seems to me an extraordinarily partial view of events, Jyoti, given that what has been most remarkable about the opposition's reaction to all of this is, in fact, that the opposition parties, which regional parties, which in many states see the Congress as a principal opponent, if not their principal opponent, have all come out saying that on this issue they stand with the Congress.
Like who?
Arvind Kejriwal in Delhi, Mamata Banerjee in Bengal, Akhilesh Yadav in UP, and KCR in Telangana, none of whom have been even on a Congress platform in the last 2 or 3 years, have all come out with statements supporting the Congress and Rahul Gandhi, and have joined the 18-party get-together in Delhi in this week in order to express solidarity on this issue. So the big story is that Mr. Modi and the BJP seem to be goading the rest of the opposition into an unprecedented level of unity. Even Mr. Thackeray's objection was only on one specific issue, namely the reference to Savarkar. And since then, as I understand it, peace has been made, and the Shiv Sena is back on board with the coalition partners they have in Maharashtra, and the Congress accepts that, you know, we with partners we'll have to see some differences. We didn't ask the Shiv Sena to give up Hindutva when they joined us, and we didn't give up our dislike of Hindutva. But the fact is that we still remain partners on a whole host of other issues in Maharashtra. That's essentially where we stand. So I would say that you've taken a very minor issue and overlooked a very much bigger picture of opposition unity, which is a silver lining to this particular cloud and an absolute gift, I would say, from the ruling government to us.
You're calling it a gift that Prime Minister Modi has given the opposition, is it? The gift of opposition unity, which otherwise would not have come about.
Well, I think when you start really going after principal opposition leaders in this way, I have to say that it's not surprising that you would find this kind of reaction.
So you should thank Prime Minister Modi then for giving you this opposition gift of unity.
Well, Mr. Modi himself would deny that as his gift by saying, look, it's a court action. It's a court that took the decision and not
You are the one who's calling it a gift, Mr. Pillai.
Yeah, but I mean, we all see something much more than a routine judicial decision. Yeah, I don't think there are too many examples of a statement in an election speech attracting the maximum possible punishment for criminal defamation, which is 2 years. No one has been able to find, not even BJP apologists have been able to find other examples of this. And that maximum punishment for criminal defamation happens to be the minimum punishment required to disqualify someone from parliament. I mean, you can't blame us for putting two and two together and seeing this as a gift to Mr. Modi and the government.
We'll talk about the language that Rahul Gandhi used, where he said that all the thieves that have come together, all the thieves with the surname of Modi, and you're absolutely right, this has been pretty strong punishment for that throwaway remark. Whether or not he should have said it, that's another point. But we'll talk about his language later. But let's talk about the bigger question of opposition unity. Do you think that your opposition unity, because there have been times in the past, instances in the past, when the opposition has fractured over one reason or the other, precisely what you said earlier, which is that you are primary parties in some of these states, primarily antagonistic to each other. Do you think that this may hold?
I think it could well hold. We've got 1 year to go for a general election. And I would say that these statements by opposition leaders actually reflect their own awareness of the adage we all know that, you know, united you stand, divided you fall. There's no question that if the government is given a free hand to pick off one opposition party after another, you've already got Mr. Sisodia in jail in Delhi. You've got Rahul Gandhi sentenced to jail in Surat. Who's next? I mean, you may well find leaders of each of the opposition parties being proceeded against. I think strength lies in numbers, and I think people are realizing you're dealing with a BJP government that is forgetting that it came to power with just 37% of the vote in 2019. And the reason is the majority of 63% went to 35 other parties. There are 36 parties in parliament today. Now, if we can ensure that these 35 parties, perhaps not all of them, but most of them, minimize their opposition to each other, and that they can come to healthy arrangements, we might be able to give the BJP an extremely tough fight. And I think the BJP realizes that for that reason, this may well be a bit of an own goal.
So Rahul Gandhi has been sentenced to jail. Of course, his that spending this 1 month that, in case you appeal the sentence. But do you think he should go to jail, and that could be another way for forging opposition unity?
Well, look, I mean, I think this question of Rahul Gandhi is blown out of all proportion. As you yourself said, it was a throwaway remark. He said something which could perhaps have lent itself to the interpretation the judge has gone for, but most common sense interpretation would suggest that it is actually an interpretation that doesn't hold water, because he said in Hindi, in sab ke naam pe, and he's talking about three specific people. He named them, Neera Modi, Lalit Modi, Narendra Modi. In sab ke naam pe ye Modi Modi kon hai. Now, you may not like that. That's a different matter. I'm not here to debate the aesthetics of the comment. But when you say in sab ke and you name three names, it's clearly these three. He has in nowhere said or implied that all Modis are thieves. And to my mind, the fact that this has become the basis for a conviction and the sentencing, and that to the maximum possible sentence. I must say it's deeply troubling, and I believe it therefore offers very substantial grounds on merits for a serious appeal.
Do you think that the ruling party, the BJP, is nervous or insecure about something?
I'm at a bit of a loss for why they've done what they've done. One possibility, as you just said, is that they're insecure and they want to knock opposition leaders off one by one so they have weaker opposition to face. That's one possibility. There is a cynical theory going around that some BJP inclined people are suggesting that they actually want to convert this election into a Modi versus Rahul Gandhi election because they still believe.
What do you think?
I can't put myself inside the heads of the BJP leadership, Jyoti. I'm just telling you all the theories that are out there. But whatever it is terrible overreach. Now, whether it's judicial overreach or political overreach, we may have different views. But I certainly believe that this is because just the gloating by the BJP leaders and members and spokespeople and MPs and ministers about this judgment suggests to me the BJP is very complicit in it. It seems to me that the BJP has politically a vested interest in seeing this play out. And I think that they may well find they've made a mistake. They may actually well find that not only is there public sympathy for Rahul Gandhi, not only is there greater opposition unity than before, but that actually they'll get the backbone up of many people who don't want to see this as an issue of Rahul Gandhi or the Congress Party, but as an issue of our democracy. I mean, let me ask you, Jyoti, you're not a Rahul Gandhi supporter, a Congress supporter, you're an independent journalist. Can you tell me, is it good for democracy if the principal leader of a major opposition party, maybe arguably the principal leader of the major opposition party, has his voice silenced, is put in jail for 2 years, and isn't allowed to speak in parliament? Is that good for democracy? Just objectively. And then you can take the question on to some other major leader of some other opposition party, and the same question comes up. Is this good for democracy? I find it amazing that a prime minister who has told the world that this is the mother of democracy would behave in this manner or would allow his system, his ecosystem, to behave in a manner that no mother would to its own favorite child. If you just look at the media coverage, you look at the media coverage around the world, Jyoti, he's done India's democratic image a huge amount of damage because every article suggests that this is a slap in the face of Indian democracy, without exception. I haven't yet to see an article abroad saying, this is just the rule of law taking its course and we should have not blame Mr. Modi's government for any of this. In fact, unanimously, and I've read articles from multiple foreign sources, the world media has seen this as an assault on democracy. Why would Mr. Modi want an own goal like that? It defeats me. You should ask the BJP, why would you want an own goal like that?
No, certainly there are serious questions that have been raised by the media, both in India and abroad. But the point is that people are not coming out in the streets. I mean, look at Israel. What's going on in Israel? People are coming out in the streets against Benjamin Netanyahu. But that's not the question. The question is not about Israel. It's about India. People are not coming out in the streets.
Well, look, certainly Congress people and Congress supporters have. At least I've seen this in Kerala. You know, one can only see with one's own eyes where one is. And I've certainly seen it extensively in Kerala. There's tremendous sympathy. I'm told that there are similar demonstrations and rallies elsewhere. Indeed, the TV visuals suggest there's been some agitation in the streets. I've heard news reports would begin with the words, the Congress Party has hit the streets on this issue and so on. So, I mean, I'm not sure that people are indifferent. People are watching all this. Yeah, I mean, many people have to make a living, have to go to their jobs. They won't risk stepping out in the streets and being beaten by police lotties. But the fact that those who are engaged have come out and they're getting attention, including from your tribe in the media, suggests to me that this is not such a sort of damp squib as you seem to be implying. Meanwhile, Jyoti, the question you asked me that I couldn't answer earlier when you wanted specific names, I've got them now. Okay. I'm sorry that partially during our interview I was searching for them. Narayan Rane accused of a 300 crore money laundering racket. Probe stopped after he joined BJP. Suvendu Adhikari accused in the Narada scam. Probe stopped after he joined BJP. Himanta Biswa Sharma, accused in a bribery scandal, probe stopped after he joined BJP. Bhavna Gawli, MP of the Shinde Sena, skipped 5 ED summons, has now been made chief whip of the Shinde Sena and the Lok Sabha. Yashwan Jadhav and MLA Yamini Jadhav, couple under ED probe for FEMA violation, joined the Shinde Sena, cases disappeared, and so on. There are more examples. I mean, Mr. Yediyurappa in Karnataka is perhaps the most famous example. Pratap Sarnaik, raided by ED in a money laundering case.
Okay, I get the point.
Sena, case closed. So, I mean, the point I'm trying to make is that it does seem extraordinarily selective the way in which this government fails to find corruption on its own side or the side of its allies and only looks for corruption when it comes to the opposition.
So do you think, Mr. Tharoor, that this could be, or this potentially could be a tipping point?
I think so, yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't want to be accused of wishful thinking. And certainly there is an element of wishful thinking when an opposition leader says any such thing. But I'm seeing every sign that this may be one example where the government's gone too far. And I think that they're going to find that out before too long. We've got 12 months or less to go for the elections. We've got the Karnataka elections that have just been announced coming up next month. And I believe that the Congress is going to do a darn sight better than perhaps the BJP would like.
So let's take the Karnataka elections as an example. Do you think the opposition could come together to fight the Karnataka elections against the BJP?
Well, as you know, there are only really three parties in the game in Karnataka. I mean, you don't really have a major presence of TMC or Aam Aadmi Party or BRS or whatever. It's essentially the BJP, the Congress, and the JDS. How the JDS feels, we don't know. They've been on both sides of this alliance dance in the past. But the Congress, even if it goes alone, I think will carry with it the hopes of all the opposition parties that aren't participating. I think the Congress will be a significant voice, no doubt about it, for all the others as well. And I'm looking forward, by the way, to this election showing all of you how this is going to be.
So that's the point, isn't it? That the Congress believes that it is the linchpin of this opposition unity or potential opposition unity. But that's not necessarily true, because a lot of the other regional parties don't agree with that assessment.
Right. Well, I mean, the fact is that we will have to see how this goes. Karnataka, you see, there are also, and that's something we mustn't forget about all Indian elections. Indian elections are next year national, but they're also an aggregate of 28 different state elections and a couple of big union territories that are almost states. And I think that we have to accept that there are local factors as well as national factors. It was said in the past that one influences the other. It has then been said in sort of the last round in 2018 and 19 that there was a disconnect between the results in 18 when the Congress swept many state elections and in 19 when we lost the Lok Sabha elections. And indeed, not just Congress. Aam Aadmi Party lost every seat in Delhi in the Lok Sabha, won almost every seat in Delhi in the Vidhan Sabha. So you've got certainly a disconnect amongst the public. In Karnataka, those who are aware that Mr. Modi is not going to come and be chief minister there, they're voting for the continuation of 5 years of the most inept and feckless rule imaginable. They're not going to vote for this government, which has not only done miserably in terms of performance, but has then tried to distract the public by doubling down on a bare-knuckle Hindutva agenda for which the majority of the people of Karnataka have no patience, making it an election about Tipu Sultan and talking about fictional characters called Ninja Gowda and Ure Gowda, something who allegedly killed Tipu, for which there is not a shred of historical evidence, going on about hijabs in colleges, going on about a love jihad. And so, I mean, this is no substitute for good governance, and the BJP has given Karnataka very bad governance. And therefore, it seems to me very clear that the Karnataka public knows what it's voting against. What are they voting for? We will draw the conclusions when we see the results. But I believe they're voting for a different approach, a different government, different party.
Okay, so the larger question is that is Arvind Kejriwal or Mamata Banerjee parties or leaders that are politically ranged against the Congress party, are they willing to shelve their differences with the Congress party to fight the big battle in 2024?
You'll have to ask them. It's wrong for me to speak for other parties and say what they may or may not do. I welcome what they have said. Mm-hmm. And I hope it's the beginning of more steps towards opposition unity, like the joint consultations in Parliament in Mr. Kharge's office, like the dinner with the Congress president. I mean, there are things happening which weren't happening before, and let's hope this continues, is my answer.
Much, much more hard work necessary for this journey to carry on.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, consulting and creating good relations with all the parties is certainly a major responsibility with the principal opposition party. On the one hand, you want to take your responsibility seriously. On the other hand, you don't want to leave the impression that you think you're the only big guy on the block and everybody else has to follow your orders. On the contrary, the Congress has to go modestly and sincerely and say, help us to help you and let's do this together. I mean, that's got to be the approach. And I really think it can be. I mean, we've had some successful coalitions in the past. Don't forget that UPA 1 and UPA 2 were both coalitions. And in both cases, they did involve some parties that were not part of pre-poll alliances. So let's see what we can do. Ideally, more pre-poll, but certainly there are possibilities pre-poll if the right atmosphere has been created before the poll.
As always, Mr. Shashi Tharoor, thank you so much for your time and for speaking to The Print. It's a pleasure.
Good talking to you, Jyoti. All the best. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.